Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Industrial Marketer Podcast, where we are talking the tips, trends, tactics that help industrial marketers and the people that make, move, and manufacture this world. I am here, as always, with my co-host, Nels, definitely not a Welsh, Jensen. How are you, my man?
Joey, I am doing great. Good to hear you. Good to see you, and excited about another episode here of our quickly growing podcast.
Oh, thank you. Yes. And for anyone who is a new listener this week, my name is Joey Strawn. I am the inbound marketing director at a industrial marketing focused agency. I've been colleagues with Nels Jensen for a while now, and we just love to get together and talk about what this crazy world of industrial marketing means to us and how, as industrial marketers, we can help others who have been in similar situations as us. 2020 so far is off to a bang, and we are diving into really making this a strong year for the industrial and the manufacturing sectors. Last week, we talked about just what the heck is industrial marketing. Nels, you brought one of my favorite guests who we'll definitely have back, Virginia. This week, we're going to talk about trends that we see for this year. But Nels, before we get into that, what have you been up to lately? How's this year been treating you so far?
Yeah, it's good. You know, the agency world has some calendar-specific things like client renewals and end of year finish up and new year projects. And it's just a lot of things happening. And that's a good to have. We're in growth mode, and that's a really good problem to have. We're onto something with this industrial marketing.
You know what? Well, that's the thing, is that, you know, industrials, the work ethic of the industrials has been around since the Industrial Revolution. It was a revolution. And it's been around, and we are always working and always striving. That's why we love this sector so much, just because everything is always moving and building. And if we're not building it, nobody else is. So I'm excited actually to dive into this week's topic. We, you know, again, wanted to start off the year looking ahead, making plans. That's one of the best things about the industrial sectors. There's always a map. There's a guide. There's a blueprint. We're always Kaizening our way to something better. You know, we want to look ahead to this year and see what we can anticipate and what we can get ahead of, what we can plan for. So, Nels, you and I have brought some different trends that we are looking forward to. So, what makes you want to gravitate toward this topic?
In a really simple, through a very simple lens, and as you know, I'm a really simple guy when it comes to this kind of thing. We live in the industrial world, and we live in the marketing world. So, what trends are we seeing in the digital media world? And then we'll go over some trends in manufacturing, and then that will give us an opportunity to talk about that sandbox. What's in that sandbox?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, on the digital side, you know, that's where I spend all my time, Nels. So whenever something new pops up, or a new avenue, or a new marketing plan, or a new marketing automation system, or integration between Salesforce and whatever, that's where I'm spending all my time. And so there's definitely been a lot of change in this last year when it comes to how industrials talk about themselves. And no matter whether you're in the C-suite, or you're, you know, straddling that sales and marketing fence, or you're on the ground level, you know, enacting all of this, you know, last year changed for you. I know it did. One of the biggest ones that I saw was just a trend across the industry was that trade shows went kaput. During a pandemic, there's not a lot of trade shows that happen. So honestly, the Zoom technologies and the video conferencing and video event technologies that emerged and grew and exploded last year, I see that becoming part of the norm. Whether or not, you know, this is the year we get back to everyone gets vaccinated and we can get back outside, I don't have that level of a crystal ball. But, you know, looking ahead to see Well, even in the future, I would imagine FabTech would have some version of a virtual element that people who can't get out to the show can attend virtually, and that technology has to be integrated into their platforms, into their email messages, into their subscription services. You know, virtual events and virtual event technology is something I believe is here to stay, just like elements of virtual working.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even if you're even if you're at a trade show looking at a demo of a machine, you're going to see virtual elements to help you get through, you know, the production process and the output. So you, absolutely, virtual events, the virtual event world are merging in ways that we can only imagine.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what pops up. I've already seen a handful of, you know, softwares that have branded themselves for this exact purpose. And so seeing the virtual event trade con world wars that are inevitable in 2021 will be something fun to watch from the sidelines. You know, something that's been growing the past couple of years that I really think is going to just double down on itself in 2021 is video. You know, the rise of YouTube, the rise of TikTok. And TikTok, don't roll your eyes too hard, guys. You know, there are people that are listening. But, you know, the rise of video content, whether that be like we talked about in last week's episode, you know, video frequently asked questions or video testimonials from customers or video events, video tours of your shop floor, whatever it may be, the trend of creating content around a visual medium like video is going to do nothing but continue and grow. I can't see a way around it. You even see, you know, systems like Facebook and LinkedIn and others integrating with video to be able to hold virtual Facebook group chats or virtual watch parties, sure. You know, through some of their integrated tools.
Yeah, and we'll touch on this later, but engineers who are doing initial discovery for products and operational systems, video is their preferred method for learning about products.
Yeah. And so I can't, that is going to just be that's been on my list for years, but it's going to stay on my list this year.
I think we're closing in on the tipping point where video is not a differentiator, it's a table stake.
Yes, I agree. It's sort of like, well, you don't have a website with words on it. It's going to be tough for you to market yourself. Like, you don't have video that we can see what you're doing. It's going to be tough. You know, and in that vein, one of the things that is a trend that's coming, not only as virtual working and virtual events gets more sophisticated, but the efficiencies that our systems build into themselves, systems like HubSpot or Salesforce, or, you know, Salesforce has recently acquired a few other companies. I think Slack, they just recently acquired Slack. And so, you know, the integration of those systems is going to hopefully drive a lot of efficiencies, which will allow for companies to experiment more easily. So I think experimentation, A/B testing, whether it be A/B testing systems integrations or A/B testing, you know, manufacturing AI built, you know, into certain processes, experimentation with landing pages or marketing elements, it will become easier and more efficient to do that. And so I think manufacturers can lean more into that Kaizen mindset that we all love to talk about of continual learning and continual growth. And in a focus around experimenting with the ways that you're marketing yourself. And maybe that's a hopeful trend, but that's one that I would love to see us gravitate towards and adopt more.
It's not hopeful at all. If you really think about one of the ironies about the industrial marketing world is that industry brought us the term Kaizen. Lean and the whole continuous improvement is based in operational efficiency. And one of the ironies is that in industry as a sector hasn't applied the same mentality and approach to marketing. And that time is coming. It's not a hard sell if you can take that mindset. Well, it's part of it is just here showing people how these efficiencies work and showing how, you know, you're so much better off if you can see what's happening through your data reporting and through your analytics. You know, it's just, to me, I just find it ironic that the industry that brought us efficiency has been so slow in adopting to marketing efficiency.
Right. Well, and let me give a very base level on the floor example of efficiencies that it's the same idea and methodology and and presence that we've had for generations. But so the idea of reaching out to a client on their birthday or on an anniversary of when they started doing business with you or remembering, you know, their kids' names, that's been part of the sales little book of sales tips for years. You know, that goes back to when sales first started. But that doesn't mean that you have to have 100 people sitting in a room, each memorizing sets of facts about different clients and sending them postcards on their anniversaries. You can automate the entire system, take that off an entire team, and really have someone who looks at how you move sales through a funnel while all of those elements are taken care of efficiently. You save money, you save time, you save personnel, and you still accomplish the goal of building a relationship with clients. And that actually leads me into my next trend that I think will change and that will become more forefront this coming year is account-based marketing via digital and virtual means. I really believe that we're going to be moving into a direction of it's not so much a scattershot marketing approach anymore because the pandemic is causing budgets to tighten up. It's causing, you know, more confidence in the sales and the leads that they chase because they don't have as much time or quite, you know, people may be sick at home. And so figuring out how to build relationships with accounts that will be profitable over the long term for clients and realizing what tools are needed and what efficiencies are needed. I think that's going to be a big trend where a lot of people who haven't really made that jump yet are going to either need to take some initial steps into that world or take the plunge and really dive in head first. Those are kind of the big ones that I see.
Sure,
and,
right.
And that one, it may be more of a sign of the times than just a natural trend that is taking hold.
Well, I think you really hit the hammer on the nail there because one of the trends in manufacturing has to do with reshoring and how supply chains, and part of the reliability of local supply chains, that's a huge benefit, the certainty that it brings. So there's a great opportunity for manufacturers to better match with their ideal clients, but that's a different kind of business development than they're used to. You know, it sounds so simple, but it hasn't always been that way. And so I think the business development of the supply chain environment, if you will, is a real huge opportunity for marketing. The account-based marketing is exactly it. It's, you know, how do you best match what you do with what people are looking for? That's not personal sales networks. That's more scouting. That's more, it just takes a different business development approach. And I think that's one trend that manufacturing you're going to see, you know, is more of that scouting, if you will, to find the best matches for your ideal client base. Two other quick trends in manufacturing. I know there's a lot of people in the marketing world who might not know a lot about industry and manufacturing, yet maybe they've been tasked with this new account, and that's part of our audience. So you're a professional marketer, but you're not a, you know, industrial nerd like some of us. The adoption of automation is also reaching a tipping point, but it's not in that robotic sense of the future where nobody will be on our shop floors or it won't be running dark 24/7, as we say. It's a much more incremental change where machines are being built to incorporate multiple applications and where software is being developed to take the controls out of human hands and actually reduce human error and make it much more dependent upon the machine itself. And that's a really big opportunity for industrial marketers because that's there's more capabilities than ever in these machines. And it's the matchmaking and finding the solutions for people and understanding. So the adoption of automation is a really big trend. And another trend too is AI. artificial intelligence has arrived. Yeah. It's the kind of thing where a lot of people talk about it, and not that many people actually do something with it. But it speaks to what you brought up earlier, which is the huge growth in data. So you have all these machines talking to each other. You have the internet. Think of the Internet of Things. It's
now when you say AI, obviously you're talking about like Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rise of the Machines, AI taking over, Skynet. We should just be scared. Like that's obviously what you're referencing. Or correct me if that's not exactly what you mean and define it further. But I'm pretty sure I got that right.
You got it. Exactly right. No, in many cases, what value do they find in their data? In many cases, it's okay. So now you're getting signals from your machines that you might not be aware of that say, you know, a little preventive maintenance right now is going to be super valuable to save you from being in reactive mode, you know, a few weeks from now when something breaks down. You know, it might be that, hey, if we were able to combine these two things, we would save exponentially on time, or we would, if we're able to do this differently, you know, we have more scrap and the certain material in this operation. What do we, you know, AI is just leveraging data.
Speaking of data, I mean, we've worked with clients in the past and we've worked with software that basically what the software does is look at your materials and look at your time, your project timelines, and make sure that it's scheduled the proper way so you don't lose time, or you don't have unnecessary downtime on machines, or you miss shipping dates and then you have to push the entire timelines back because everything's reliant on everything else. You know, it used to be people would sit in rooms and print out a giant Excel, you know, spreadsheets and put them on the wall and manage, you know, physically manage that. And there's a lot of human error, in that. And the humans are just not able to calculate the same number of data points, you know, that we can have these algorithms do for us.
Yeah. And, you know, the same thing is happening in manufacturing that's happening in digital media. So your analogy about account-based marketing is also true in the machine world, where the end users of these machines are relying on the expertise of the OEMs to help them solve problems. And so it really does come down to relationships, just as companies are relying on us for the consultative, how do you put this to use?
Right.
You know, manufacturers are relying on their OEMs for, you know, how do we get the most out of our technology? You know, it really does speak to the power of account relationships.
Right. Well, I mean, and an interesting intersection, if you talk about account relationships and you talk about, you know, we're always, I don't want to sound as if we're giving control to the machines, because the ability to connect with your audiences on a personal level, to personalize the experiences, to make the buyer's intent and journey, you know, a pleasurable and efficient one, so you can get more sales quickly and add to that bottom line. You know, part of that is all wrapped up in some of the digital trends that I was talking about. Like, video content is a very personable way to connect with people. And it's not all algorithms and databases and big data. It's seeing a face is triggered in our body to connect with somebody. So, you know, an email isn't going to connect the same way as a personalized video message. And now there are tools where you can easily send personalized video messages to every single one of your contacts or every single person who signs, you know, a new proposal. There are ways to build in the connection points, even in virtual means.
Sure.
So those integrations of the trend of those relationships becoming more and more important and AI taking over some functions, it opens the door for some of these other systems and tools and sensors and just nifty things that we've been able to create to fill the gaps of those personal relationships to build stronger long-term partnerships with prospects.
Yeah. And
that's
the
ultimate goal.
Right. And the trust extends to the expertise too, right? It's like data, this we're collecting so much more data. And in many cases, people are overwhelmed by that data. So if you trust in your marketing partner to be able to go through your analytics, your data report and say, here's what is most important, or let's turn this dial and slow down this input, trying to change that output. You know, that's the same thing that manufacturers have been going through with their equipment. You know, they have all these sensors, there's this overload of data, and they have figured out how to harness that data. And that's kind of where we are. One of the great opportunities for industrial marketers is harnessing all that data that they're collecting on these, in many cases, you know, it's new territory. These manufacturers are not used to investing in all this digital media. So it's very powerful. That relationship is super, super important if you're able to convert that data into useful insights for those clients. Yeah.
You know what, Nels, you just said a very important phrase, converting all that data into useful insights. You know what? I think I'm going to take this opportunity. It's time for us to move into our second segment of working on the shop floor and making this actionable for our listeners. We've been talking about a lot of high concepts and trends and future looks for this year, but I want to take all of that data and I want to put our money where our mouth is. And I want to turn that into some actionable insights for people. So for our second segment on the shop floor, let's condense these. What are the five things that we can combine and figure out of where industrial and marketing and all of this come together that we should be paying attention to this year? And like, what can we back it up with? What should people care about as we go into 2021 and we plan for the best year that we can?
Right.
So, Nels, let's start with let's just give a not in any sort of ranking order, but let's just number one. Where should we start? What do you think is the number one trend we should be paying attention to?
Well, digital advertising is definitely on the rise in industrial marketing. Now, a lot of that has to do with COVID and the pandemic.
Yeah.
But we actually have some stats that back it up. The industrial B2B sector was the second fastest to shift more of its spend online.
Wow.
Between March 15th and July 1st, right? Trailing only healthcare. Right. And that's from a report in Media Radar. And we will put these stats and these links in our show notes.
So oh, great. Everything we referenced.
That. Right. But the, equipment world saw its buys increase by 44% during that time period. That's a really big lift for an immediate response. And that's not going to change. We've talked before about how, you know, industrial marketing is evolving and becoming more digital all the time. People, our sector was increasing in digital spend 22% in projected anyway. So
a lot of what we were talking about earlier is this. It's, you know, the rise in video conferencing spend, the rise in digital spend to connect with your audience. Like, that is going to be the trend this year, is we are going to see companies have to spend more and increase what they're doing in the digital worlds, whether that be advertising infrastructure or all, you know, anything else. But yes, definitely those connection methods. I don't think there's a way around it.
You referenced it earlier too. Digital ads are a really important touch point with the buyers who are spending more time working at home on computers. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple, actually. Right.
Pretty simple.
There you go.
So, okay, I can agree with that one. That one's a big one. What's number two? What's another trend that we need to focus on?
So, you know, the B2B digital sales and e-commerce, they're here to stay. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of industrials who were like, you know, do we really need an e-commerce site? And the answer is crystal clear now. Yes, you do. And in fact, we are working with a client who is in the protective coatings, you know, industrial finishings business. And they actually have competition from Amazon if for no other reason than some of the parts, Amazon will deliver parts and equipment, delivers them for free. And if you're not used to, if you haven't figured out the scale of shipping parts and equipment, you know, that shipping is a cost that you're passing on to your customers. But it's also really just, it's just like everything else, you know, we're, well, we want to search.
It even gets more complicated, but if you're in a distribution network and so you sell through distributors and are having to manage or keep track of how they're presenting your product. So maybe you have an agreement where you're not allowed to create your own e-commerce store and you have to facilitate your revenue through other e-commerce store. Well, in today's world, that ownership or that management ability has to be a lot stronger. You have to be able to reach out and say, I'm going to provide you with these assets. I'm going to provide you with these workflows, or I'm going to provide you with these emails, because we have to be able to connect these dots, because more and more of our business is being handled outside of our control.
Yeah.
You know, the more data that we have about that, the more proactive companies can be. I mean, you mentioned the term earlier, and let's apply it to digital marketing. Let's provide some preventative maintenance to what we're doing. Let's not have a huge sales problem a quarter after we know that we're in the red. Let's know that we have a problem in our sales pipeline before it becomes a revenue issue.
Right, absolutely. And in fact, here's another stat for you. 89% of the industrial marketers in this particular survey, again, I'll put the details in the show notes. They developed new digital selling models, right? Mm-hmm. And 89% say they are not going back to their old tactics, and they will retain these tactics after the pandemic ends. So,
but wait, Nels, what all we've been hearing and all that we know is that everything has been terrible because of the pandemic. Are you telling me that some people are doing okay?
Oh, in manufacturing. Yeah, this is, so you have to be careful here, because, you know, let's not forget the ultimate tragedy of the pandemic and the public health issues and everything like that. But there are certain manufacturer sectors that are booming, and that is a very clear trend. And if you think about it, if I told you that packaging was on the rise, if you just think about Amazon and single-use food containers, you would think, yeah, somebody's making mint off of that world. So another area that's high growth is what we call medical disposables. That's single-use. Right. So, and that is, if you think about vaccines, right?
Well, and that's probably something as a part of this supply chain that people don't really think of. You know, everybody, you hear, oh, well, why can't they just get the vaccines out to everybody super fast? And you don't think of all the other companies that are connected in that supply chain of, well, they have to be transported in this type of container at this type
or
of
who's
degrees.
Or who's making this type of little vial, or who is making the equipment that's used, you know, in that production process. You know, it's medical, and not just vaccines, PPE. It's like China produced, you know, more than 50% of the world's PPE prior to the pandemic, and then they took it all for themselves early on. The supply chain for PPE has been totally reinvented in this company. Yeah. It's still not adequate yet. There's still some things that they're still working through, but that is not going back to Asia. That will be done here. Yeah. Moving forward. And so that there are plenty of examples of that where manufacturing is booming in that regard. And food and beverage, there you see a lot more evolution, if you will, in food and beverage. And that has been an opportunity for manufacturers, and even some heavy equipment, transportation. You know, one thing that I find interesting, you hear a lot, you know, aviation is currently, you know, if you were a frequent flyer before, right, you probably aren't now. The travel industry has been devastated. But also, when it comes back, you're going to have more regional jets than ever. And there's actually production is actually on the increase related to like regional jets and a lot of heavy equipment things. So there's plenty of opportunity in manufacturing. And that's one trend that is an opportunity. If you are aligned with any of those, there's a very significant industrial marketing opportunity.
Yeah. That's great. Well, let's see. That's three trends. We've got two more that we need to give people to pay attention to. What would you say is the fourth one?
Yeah. So we touched on this earlier when you were talking about video, manufacturing content marketing. That is definitely maturing. So you need searchable content on your website. You know, if you're making widgets or you're making tools or whatever that's related, you know, people still want to find, they can't go to a trade show anymore, but they still want to find your product and services. How are they going to find it? So the content on your website is way more important than it's ever been. And that's where content marketing, that's one of those other just naturally follows suit. If I can't see it and touch it and feel it, how am I going to learn about it?
Well, right. And you know, talking about the intersections that we were earlier, I think that this will grow mainly because our abilities to do cool things or good things with that will grow as well. So imagine the impact it could have if, you know, Derek has been on your site and has checked out your blog post on, you know, hydroforming techniques, you know, for the agricultural industry. And then the next time Derek comes to your site, a little pop-up comes up and says, "Hey, Derek, do you know we published a part two of that article?" And then shows him that article. That's a great experience. And that's someone who will then come back to your site and, oh, turns out Eric is an engineer or a procurement manager for an agricultural firm. And you guys are now on the list for a new contract that they just got to manufacture. Like being in those people's headspace and being able to connect and bring dynamic, personalized, effective content to the right people when they come to your site to keep them coming back has to mature along with, you know, along with the CRM, you know, and how detailed you can be in a contact record. You know, it all has to mature together.
Well, and it does. And it, you know, don't dismiss the possibility of influencers. Right.
Yeah.
So you have people who may be able to help you sell your, you know, industrial products and services.
Right.
That will evolve. There will be influencers in our sector. Yeah. The fifth trend, even job shops are investing in marketing. Right. And part of it is just, we touched on the business development opportunities. How do you find ideal clients? And part of it is even something like recruitment. How do you find people to, you know, come help you with your workforce? So it is, you know, marketing is not a differentiator for job shops. It's not something like, you can't rely on the old networks anymore. So
yeah.
Even small shops are investing in marketing. That's a key trend, and that's opportunity for marketers. Right.
I mean, and it is, and it's an opportunity for people to understand, you know, when people like me, I guess, drop terms like SEO or search engine optimization and visibility. Ultimately, what we mean by that is people are looking for your types of solutions in different ways. And we want to make sure that you are visible in those ways. Imagine if the Yellow Pages included the entire world. How would people find you and on what page? I want people to find you and on the right page. And that's, you know, that's the interconnection of all of this, is being able to, you know, not only know who your customers are, know where they are, but then present yourself in the most favorable way to them there. That's always been what this game is about. And so that trend I is just going to evolve into, I think, what you were talking about, Nelson. I think those are great. I mean, so if people are paying attention to how digital spend is rising and acknowledge the need for a digital spend increase or focus, that's going to be important. Number two, if they're realizing that some version of connection and sales and account partnership through digital channels is here to stay, that's going to be a big move in the right direction. Connecting with booming sectors, number three, is looking for those sectors that are benefiting from these changing times and these current conditions and aligning yourselves and your opportunities there. And number four, manufacturing on the sophistication of what we're doing here in the industrial sectors, whether it be the sophistication of the partnerships, the content that we're making, the connections that we're making, or the tools that we're using. And then number five is the investment in marketing across the board through digital means, whether it be biz dev, job shops, recruitment, connecting with your audiences, virtual trade shows, or whatever it may be, is grasping those and realizing that those are on the rise. Nels, you dropped a lot of stats as we were talking, and those will all be in the show notes and in the follow-up article. But is there anything you want to kind of add to this before we close out today?
No, I mean, that was a great recap of those trends. And what the trends really speak to, you know, is the connectivity, the relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Connecting with the right people and then connecting the data to
yep.
the output. So it's really all about those two connections.
So if there's one macro trend, it's all about figuring out how to connect us with them the best ways. And that's what really this whole show is about, Nels, is bringing people together, building communities, connecting those dots through digital methods, if you will. So wherever you're listening to this, we appreciate it. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast, however you listen to podcasts, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, on your computer, through your mom's friend. It doesn't matter. However you're listening, subscribe, give us a like, give us a positive review, and share with your friends. If you want to get more information, check out the website, industrialmarketer.com, or subscribe to our newsletter. We're giving deep in-depth articles there, case studies. You can talk to experts. Just make sure you're connecting with us if you're in this world. However you come to industrial marketing, let's make sure we come together and we grow this together. So, Nels, it's always a pleasure to join you, and I can't wait until next week when we get back to talk more information and helpful tips, tricks, and trends for these industrial marketers of ours.
Thanks a lot, Joey. Thank you to all the listeners as well.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.